Howdy, good morning, and welcome to Red Sea Roundup. I'm your host, Judy Como. Today, we are pre-recording this interview to be aired next week during Holy Week. My guest is Susan Stahways. Good morning, Susan. See, I got it right the first time. Now I'm going to stumble it. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, Judy. Thank you for having me.
Oh, this is a great privilege for me. We are here today to discuss an upcoming documentary on your son, Father Ryan, and the sky's the limit. So we can talk just about anything that we want to in promoting this documentary and telling the world, who all gets to know more and more about your wonderful son, Father Ryan. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy. We are so excited. This film started over a year ago, and it was the brainchild of Father Richard McNeely, who's the vocations director in Galveston, Houston. It started as a 7-minute little shot, right? I mean, he says, oh, Susan and Ray, do you mind if we just do a little short little video to put up on our website for vocations? And we said, well, sure, you know, if it's for vocations, anything, right? And so as it turned out, it turned into a movie, an hour-long movie.
Wonderful. I've rewatched it this morning again, but let's take a step back and share with our audience a little synopsis of your story and what the documentary, I mean, I'm sure it had a mindset, this is what we hope to do with this documentary, but even Caleb and I talking this morning, it's just bigger and more levels than one single thing that the movie's about. Would you agree?
I would so agree with you, Judy. And every time I watch it, I see something I hadn't seen before. And you would think that wouldn't be the case because I'm the mom, you know, like maybe I would have experienced most of it, but it is, it surprises me all the time. And I think that's how our Catholic faith is, right? It surprises us all the time. There's always
exactly
something to learn.
Sometimes I'll make that statement. I'm so surprised by this, but why am I surprised by it?
Exactly.
But we can't take everything in all day, every day. So share with our listeners the story of Father Ryan, and then we'll talk more about the documentary.
Sure. So my husband and I have been married for 40 years. We got married and actually moved to Aberdeen, Scotland. And we were there for 5 years and had our two sons, Ross and Ryan. And as we were living there, sort of newlyweds, you know, you're no parents, no grandparents around, no family members. Our entire family base was just our church, our wee little small church in the hills of Scotland. And we were the American family. And so my husband and I have always been the type of people that sort of, you know, jump in. And I think we kind of, just by habit, I guess, instilled in this into our children. We lived overseas a lot, and they always seemed to know that that was part of the gig, right, to participate. So Ross and Ryan, actually, the second time we moved to Aberdeen, they were in 9 and 10 years old, and they served as altar servers. We had a lovely priest from Nigeria who believed that all 6 of the boys in the entire church who were of age needed to be on the altar. And so they went, and every Sunday they served for 5 years. So I think that was a bit of a backdrop to maybe how our Catholic lifestyle sort of started to prepare our children. We really enjoyed the isolation in a way of having a small Catholic community, because you could see the changes, you could see the growth, you could see the effect of your activities and your volunteerism, but also you could see the beautiful heart and how in a small church you can do things with heart.
Mm-hmm.
We had a soup kitchen tiny little kitchen, but they one Sunday of the month they did a soup kitchen, and they had a lot of homeless folks around where we were, and the boys learned to serve in many ways. And I just wish that that sort of Catholic habit was alive and well in our families today.
Well, you and your husband both were raised Catholic and in a churched setting, so you were kind of on the same page when you met. I say my husband and I were, maybe we were on different pages, but definitely the same chapter in the same book when we met. So that was y'all's experience as well.
Yeah, to find a young Catholic man who was attending church regularly back when I was in college. I think it was a God thing for sure. We were both of the opinion that we did not want to marry a person who wasn't of the same faith as we were, because it creates so many more challenges. And I guess we're supposed to, you know, that old, the scripture verse about being evenly yoked and all of that. There's so many things in marriage that are challenging. That doesn't need to be one of them. So we were, both of our families were the kind that went to Sunday Mass, holy days of obligation, and did all the normal prayers at home. And I was fascinated, though, because the times that I grew up in, not having the Bible studies and retreats available, I think my faith actually sort of plateaued at a state where I was good enough, you know. And it wasn't really until we moved here to Houston and we had just exposure to all these beautiful Bible studies, retreat content. Of course, the world changed too, mm-hmm. right? We had all that beautiful content available.
Right. We were talking at Bible study yesterday to say, I assume we're close to the same age anyways, but I was raised as an Italian Catholic, and there's a difference between Catholics and Italian Catholics. And we did so many things out of obedience. We were a more obedient society in the world, and we were more obedient to our parents for a while and to the church and things like that. And I mean, we can't solve the disconnect in the church because of lack of evangelization. Can't be discipled. One needs to go before the other. But having that experience, still those seeds are planted.
They are.
So, and you had this beautiful experience in Scotland of a smaller parish, and your husband is a engineer, so that's why y'all moved around as much as you did.
Mm-hmm. He works for Chevron, and he's retired now. But just a note on the Catholic part: I was raised in Lafayette, so I was Catholic, and I when I met Ray, we went up to his family's home in Pennsylvania, and his dad is Polish Catholic, and his mom is Slovak Catholic. And so they each had grown up in the Polish Catholic Church and the Slovak Catholic Church. And so that was a cultural interesting thing for me, because up there, actually in Farrell, Pennsylvania, where he's from, they're in the Guinness Book of Records for having a church on one corner and a bar on the other one. You know, and
believe that hadn't been pulled off in Lafayette.
I know.
Maurice City Bar is right across the street from the church in Maurice, Louisiana.
But from the cultural perspective, you know, it was the thing they did. And anyway, so it was a beautiful melting of our families. My grandmother said to me, "Susan, you're from the South. He's from the North. You know, there will be differences." I said, "Oh, we'll get past all that." And it's just, it is though. It's how you, the environment that you grow up in, definitely shapes you.
I agree. So we're in Houston now, and your guys are moving into high school and have a plan to come to good old Texas A&M.
Well, we moved from Aberdeen to Houston, so they had not learned to drive yet. So our first big adventure was driving on Texas freeways, learning how to drive on Texas freeways. My heart was, it was a constant steep learning curve for me. And they were in high school here a couple of years and then went off to A&M. And I had a big empty nest syndrome happening, I guess, because we were in this small nuclear family all their life. And so all of a sudden, I had a lot of time on my hands. And that's when I kind of started doing retreats and things at their encouragement, because they mm-hmm. were so fired up about Texas A&M Aggie Awakenings. They wanted everybody to experience one.
Well, for me, it was Christ Renews His Parish retreat, which is similar to Acts, or I think it's
yes.
Acts follows Christ Renews His Parish and everything. Mm-hmm. So as part of the movie that struck me, the idea of what Father Ryan talked about, discernment and seeking God's will in his lifetime. And if I'm jumping too forward, just bring me back to where you'd rather talk about it. But the idea of accompanying people in discernment, I think Caleb shared with you that my husband is ordained 2 years ago as a deacon, and how that discernment, like I used to have it as like a catchword to explain something, but I didn't really understand what discernment was, and how hard it is. So accompanying someone on the road to discernment. So as a mother, as this was coming from him saying, I'm being called to do this. It's not something that I was looking for. I'm being called.
Yes. You think that, you know, as you're in the day-to-day of life, right? You have your schedule on the refrigerator, you know, as they're growing up, they have chores to do and they have activities to follow up, school time and, you know, basketball or this or that or whatever. I think I was very busy being a parent, very busy trying to provide them and my husband with all the things that we felt were helping them to form to be good men, right? And when they go off to college, you just say, God bless you. And, you know, I taught them to do their laundry before they left and balance a checkbook and all those wonderful things. But, you know, there's a hole in your heart. And there's a longing to send more guardian angels as they step out there and start figuring out life for themselves. So the discernment process for every young person trying to find out what God wants of them in our culture is almost, I think from a personal perspective, it's almost non-existent because
exactly.
everyone is told, this is how you're successful. This is how you'll be anybody that's worth talking to on Facebook, right? Or whatever, you know, you have to have quote likes, right? And I think that pulling them away from that a little bit, I think God protected them, both of them, as we lived overseas, because we didn't have all of that. Growing up, we didn't have McDonald's. You know, they didn't know what it was at the time. So in the figuring out just who they are as young people, as young adults, I was extremely grateful that both of them kept that very strong tie with St. Mary's at College Station. And I knew that there would be like-minded people. There would be somebody else who might want to pray the rosary, somebody else who might want to do a Bible study, you know. And as it turned out, you know, Ryan developed some amazing friendships with all of his roommates who were not Catholic, who were beautiful, beautiful Protestant folks. And I love them so much. They're all my sons.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's just discerning. Everyone's out there trying to figure life out. I think there's a lot of depression when you're trying to do it on your own. People go into despair when they're trying to do it on their own. And the second that you ask God for help, he shows up, you know.
Yeah, that was certainly our experience. Keith was ordained 2 years ago, so we were in formation for five, actual formation, but we did like a pre-discernment for 2 years before that, and it was a complete different mindset. We have two girls, and Keith owns a landscaping business, and we would just kind of meet each other, but we knew on Thursdays once a month we had to be home and clean and get in the truck and drive to Austin for this meeting. So it was, you know, priming us to start this different time in our lives of and every time I catch myself going in a circle, I realize that I'm rowing the boat by myself, and inviting Jesus into the boat just makes all the difference in the world, kind of straightens it up. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy. It's going to be easy, but there's strength for the journey.
And how admirable it is for an adult who's going along in their life to hear this call from God about the diaconate, and then to say, okay, I have a family, I have all this, we're juggling a million balls anyway, how in the world am I ever going to do this? But God gives us grace, and he keeps that little gnawing in you, that, you know, that thirst for him, that you just say, how can I do anything else? And exactly. I think that's was Ryan's perspective with regard to the priesthood. He had been at an Aggie Awakening retreat before, and there's a moment in there where they do Jesus putting a stole on all of his disciples around their necks. And there was a moment where he contemplated, are you talking to me, God? Oh, I don't think so, you know. And then that went on and life went on. But for me, it was a very pivotal moment the day that he was diagnosed with cancer the first time. We were in the oncologist office. We were getting all the instructions of, okay, yes, I'm going to send you on to MD Anderson. This is more than I can handle from this oncologist. And Ryan said, well, do I have to go there today or can I go next week? And she said, oh, no, you can go next week. This was a Friday. And he said, oh, good, because I need to go back up to A&M. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this young man has just heard that he's got this life-threatening disease and he's got this attitude. Oh, well, obviously he doesn't know the seriousness of it. You know, I was just thinking all these things. We walk out into the car park and I said, Ryan, what's up at A&M? He said, oh, well, I'm, the Aggie Awakening retreats this weekend and I'm on staff. I said, oh, that's fabulous. He says, yeah, I'm on the drama team. I said, Ryan, you've never been on a drama team in your life. I said, you know, what's happening? He goes, yeah, I got the lead role. I said, you got, well, what are you playing? What are you guys doing? He says, oh, we're doing The Passion. Mm. And at that moment, my son was going to be playing Jesus that weekend to 300 staff, 300 retreatants. And he had been preparing for it for weeks. And that experience just solidified in my heart that it's going to be okay. There's a God in heaven. This is so, the timing of it was perfect in my heart. And I said, well, it just kind of gave me a, like you said, rowing the boat by yourself. I didn't feel like I had to row the boat by myself. Mm-hmm.
So his diagnosis came at what age is he right now at this time?
Well, he was 20 at that time, and he was in his third year of engineering, which is the hardest year. It was the middle of the year, and that's when we pulled out and went down to MD Anderson for lots of chemo, big surgery, radiation. It took us a year to go through all of that.
Mm-hmm. And could you just kind of briefly describe where his cancer was and how
found he had a little lump on his lower back, and he thought he had pulled a muscle when he was playing golf, and he had gone to physical therapy for a few weeks up at A&M, and he finally called me on the phone and said, Mom, I think it's something different. And so he came down, went to the doctor, and he ran an MRI and said, oh, yeah, there's a big gnarly thing there. You got to go. So it was actually in his muscle, his gluteus muscle. And So when they did surgery, they were wanting to be proactive and not just take the muscle, even though it didn't, they weren't sure if it was in the bone or not. And so you and I have their pelvic, the doctors call it a pelvic ring. That's the big pelvic bone on the back. It's shaped like a butterfly. It's kind of your hips, top of your hips. They ended up taking part of that bone off and taking a leg bone, his fibula, and doing some reconstruction to kind of rebuild him like scaffolding. They weren't sure, though, if what he would be able to do. Every time Ryan would go see Dr. Lewis, and she'd say, "Don't tell me what you've been doing, okay? Because I don't want to know." I mean, you know, she knew he was biking and playing basketball and all sorts of things. And he'd mentioned that the first couple of visits. And then she'd say, "Look, if you fall and you break any part of that, I cannot reconstruct you." And so on the basketball court, when they'd get going and I'd see him go flying across the floor, you know, goodness, that would be my voice you would hear in the stand saying, "Oh, no, Ryan."
It's a delightful part of the movie focuses on that basketball game against the seminarians and the priests at the time, which it was delightful for us because I saw Father Will Rooney, now Father Will Rooney, who was assigned to our parish for a year. Actually, we did youth ministry together when he was a youth minister at St. Thomas Aquinas, and we have our own special story with him to share as well. But so he went through the treatment.
Yeah, he went through the treatment, went back to A&M and had all the support of his buddies. I think it was really lonely for him when he was the year off, when everybody else was continuing to go onward in all their studies. They'd try to call him and keep him involved. But when he got back there, he just persevered, which was very surprising to me because he had all the most potent chemotherapy you could have, and I didn't know what it would do to his brain. But he went on to graduate with honors, and that's all God, I think. Mm-hmm. And then he came home that day. When he came home, he was waiting on a job offer letter, and he came to our house, had the letter, had a look on his face that I couldn't quite make out, and Ray, my husband, said, "Well, is this your letter from..." He had applied to Noble Energy, and I said, yeah, it's my letter of acceptance. They're giving me a job. And he looked at those numbers on that salary quotation, and it just didn't faze him because he said, "I'm concerned." And Ray said, "Well, what's up?" He said, "Well, I don't know if God wants me to do this." And isn't it interesting that it's right at that, you're there making the decision right there. Here's this gigantic decision for you. And you've been contemplating this maybe on your own, not really talking to people. You might have been talking to a spiritual director at A&M. And then to say, "I think God wants me to be a priest," right then and there, the fork is in the road. And wow. Ray had an uncle that was a priest. For him, that wasn't a foreign idea. And we had always had priests come over for dinner when all the different places that we lived in the world to try to expose, you know, our family to that lifestyle, right? That possibility.
Mm-hmm.
So he started, he discerned with the Legion over the summer. He went on, that was just a couple days later. He said, "Well, I've decided." We went to a trip to the Holy Land right when he graduated. It was the most beautiful experience to go as a family. I strongly recommend it to anybody because it'll change your life when you're listening in Mass to the readings and to the gospel. You will actually see in your heart where all this has taken place, and it's a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
But he discerned with the Legion for the summer for a few months. I was talking to an elderly priest friend of mine saying, "I don't know if I can bear this, if he goes into religious life and then I see him once a year for my birthday." You know, I said, "Gosh, you know, I'm, And this priest said to me, "Susan, hand him over. He's on the planet. Hand him over and let God do what he will," right? And I said, "Yeah, but he's going to have to give me strength in my heart. You know, I don't." And he said, "Just be obedient." Yeah.
Totally resonate with that. We've had, we grew up with two priests here from Bryan. They were actually in the same First Communion class when they were childhood. Father Mike Siss, now Bishop Mike Siss, Father David Condorla, now Bishop Condorla. And, you know, I knew both of them personally, but Father David a little bit more because his family is so big here and everything. And then he moved to Oklahoma, and I was just, that boggled my mind to say, you know, you're not going to see your daddy every week like you do now. And so, but it's learning the giving of self that these men, holy priests, have, and how much they love the priesthood. And it is so evident in the movie, Caleb and I, which is, I'm no movie critic, but I do play one on TV. But so well done. But the overall message is how much he loved being a priest, how much our priest, Father Bryan Eilers here at St. Joseph, says, I've interviewed him a couple of times, and how much they love it, how much. And, you know, I can imagine it's as hard as anything, but the love came through. And his classmate, Father David Michael Moses, who was predestined to become a priest when that's your name.
Yes.
Such a rock star priest as well. And, you know, just hearing confessions for hours and hours and hours, and how much they love that. It's very beautiful, and opens our eyes to that. Caleb's given me some signals across the way. We have about 15 minutes left, so I want to give you the opportunity to, I'll be quiet and let you, whatever else you hope to talk about while we're here, the rest of the story after he went to seminary, and let's pick it up from there.
Well, after seminary, of course, he went to St. Joseph's in Covington for 2 years, did his philosophy, and then he came to Houston and finished up St. Mary's, and that was 5 years. He was cancer-free all during that time and had all his beautiful checkups and everything, and was living the life of rebuilding, right? He said to me once, he was, as in the movie, you can see he was pretty athletic, and all that started in high school, not like in the Houston tradition of 7 years old. So he
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. He was doing all of this starting as a high school young man. And he said to me when he was doing his chemo, "You know, Mom, it's like God's taken away everything that I built up in myself, and he's giving me back what I need." And when I heard that, I said, here's a 20-year-old young man who is got his act together, right? Like David Michael says, Father David Michael, you know, his priorities were in perfect order. And I saw that in him as we were going through the chemo and everything. I wasn't surprised. I was surprised that he wanted to be a priest just because he hadn't spoken about it before. But it fit perfectly with his heart and with his love of the Eucharist. So I think the watching him blossom in seminary was such a joy for us. And in the movie, we talk about his sense of fraternity, you know, that trying to bring folks together was such a big deal for him. And you know, everybody's into self right now. They're not into how can I help you? Hey, let's get together. Hey, you know, let's go build a fort, you know, whatever it is. That whole thing about the way of life of maybe in those, cultures where they all get together and do a barn raising.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's doing stuff together is always better. It's always more fun. You always get more work done, right? With the joy and the difficulty of it. And there's the sharing experience. So I was so grateful that that we made it through ordination. That was a very hard weekend for any young man, much less one going through chemo. And I honestly don't, I don't understand how anyone cannot have a faith in God. I don't, we wouldn't have been able to make it, mm-hmm. come out whole on the other end.
Right. His cancer reoccurred at that, the last year of his seminary. A month before ordination.
Yeah. And it was quite a shock to everyone. It was a shock to him. You can imagine the stress that, you know, you're going along, and there's this big, beautiful wedding coming, which is an ordination. It's like your wedding. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, the month before. Yeah. And, perseverance is a gift of the Holy Spirit, right? And so we just kept supporting him the best way we knew how, and we're doing this, and we're, all the plans go ahead. And the cardinal asked Ryan, he knew he was going to be going through treatment, and so he said, well, would you like to be assigned closer to your parents or closer to downtown, because we would be having to drive him to all of his treatments. And so that's how it came up to Prince of Peace. And Ray and I had each, that's not our home parish, but as you said before, you know, you go where the activities are, right? You've got Mass, but all the different churches have different beautiful events and things. And both Ray and I had teamed the Women's Acts Retreat and the Men's Acts Retreat. So we knew some folks at Prince of Peace,
mm-hmm.
through all those experiences, had them praying for Ryan when he was in seminary anyway. And so it was like our whole family got lifted up at Prince of Peace, and we were all cared for and still are all cared for. Every time I walk over there, there's two or three people coming up to me telling me stories. And I
thought it was a very interesting perspective in the movie that the parishioners had this perception of, we're getting this priest who's sick, and what's that going to look like? And I think, you know, we're all human, and anywhere USA, Saint whatever, has this idea because they move priests around, and we think about how it affects us as lay people. But, right. You know, I was like, what about the priest? I was in Lafayette at Christmas and went to a confession to a South African priest, and it's like, when do they ever get to go see their family? Or, you know, I just couldn't perceive of it. So they give and lay down their life for us, and we're the stiff-necked people who gripe about having to do something a little bit different or things like that. But the outpouring, the experience of the parish ministering to him as he ministered to them is so evident in the movie. It was really very beautiful.
I would encourage anybody who just wants to see, I mean, there's good content, right? There's not a lot of good content out there, but it's an opportunity to bring your family to something that you will learn something from, you will experience something positive from, and hopefully you will be inspired to tweak yourself, you know, whether this happened to open up during Lent, which was beautiful, but you know, after Lent is Easter, but before then is Good Friday. And we do have to go through all the days of the week, all the days of the Passion. And I am so grateful that this has happened. The movies happen. We just thought it was going to be a few showings, had no idea it was going to blow up like it did. But wouldn't that be, it's not surprising that God would work that way. That he would have laid all this foundation down. All those family videos, my goodness. I took so many of them. And my husband would say, why are you filming all this? You know, well, now I know why I was
now
filming all
why.
This.
Yeah. Thought it was very pivotal. The name of the movie is Love God's Will. And I read it as I was preparing it, and it just went completely over my head until in the movie, Father David was talking about how Ryan taught him. And so hopefully at some point in our lives, no matter where we are in our journey, we are curious about what God's will for us is. So likely people are familiar with seeking God's will, and likely lots of people ask for the strength once they think this is God's will to accomplish God's will. But the way he described it, that Ryan's example of loving God's will, it's just a game changer. And it changed my perspective full circle.
You know, in the movie The Passion, when Christ falls and he looks over at his mother, and that look on his face is so gentle and kind and loving. And it's as though he's saying, it's okay, Mom. I got this. It's all for the best. And that was exactly what I think this message was given. Ryan was given the homily, one of the last times at seminary. Before he graduated, before he became a priest, he was the one that was assigned to do that last homily. And it was in that homily that he said this to all the seminarians. And supposedly, they were all very much moved by it, because I had several of them come up to me at his funeral and tell me the story of him expressing his confusion over the circumstances, but that he had thought about it, prayed about it, and that he felt like it was in perfect harmony with what God wanted of him, but that he realized that the hard part was going to be, okay, you can accept God's will in your life, but actually loving it, not liking it, but actually loving it. And that's what Christ was doing in that movie. He was embracing the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that's pivotal for every single human on the planet. And like you said, I had not ever heard that before, and it certainly had gone over my head until I saw the way those beautiful Palomita film storytellers told the story of Father Ryan and all those beautiful people he experienced along the way. And it was just sort of like footsteps of one man. And here's how he handled things. Maybe I could handle things, because look, he handled it like this. Mm. Maybe. And that's just like the lives of the saints, right? They all do the same thing. They all tell us that, well, I had this struggle, but this is how I handled it. And all in all, my focus was on God. Why don't you try that? It worked for me. Maybe it'll work for you.
Well, in your example, as you made reference to the scene in The Passion of the Christ, I make reference to the strength that the Blessed Mother had. And I can see that strength within you as well. She stared that devil down.
Yeah, amen.
And, you know, well, like, no, you can't, you're not taking.
Yeah. Well, like I said in the movie too, we just had this pat at the beginning about despair. And we just said, look, we've got too much to deal with. We're not dealing with that. And so we just would rebuke Satan at every opportunity. Anytime there was a darkness at all, anytime there was something, you can feel it, right? Because it's a loneliness, it's a loss of hope or whatever. We just said, nope, we're not having it. And it worked. And I encourage people to just, you know, lean into that. And I do want to say before we get off the interview that we're so extremely pumped up that it's coming up to A&M. It's going to be at the Cinemark in College Station on April 3rd. We have generous donors that are sponsoring this film. Because it's an independent film, the only way it gets around is if a person or a group of people, or like the Knights of Columbus or some generous foundation, like the Scanlon Foundation down here in Houston, actually puts up the money to rent the theater so that we're able to show it. We charge a ticket price of $10 to go, and all those funds help us to do another one. It was shown at the Rome Seminary, the Legionnaire of Christ Seminary this last week. We had a young man that said, can I show it to my seminarians? We said, sure. Oh. So we've got,
We have a close friend who's in the seminary there. Wyatt Parlow is from St. Anthony's Parish here in Bryan.
Oh, cool. Ask him if he saw it.
I will. I surely will.
Yeah. But the Cinemark is going to be at 6:30 and 8 o'clock on April 3rd. And on April 10th, we're going to Texas A&M, St. Mary's. Yeah, Student Center. It seats 450. We are so excited they're letting us come in. So please tell all your friends, Facebook, Instagram, and everything else.
But that's sure, I've already seen it on a lot of A&M Facebook, but we'll link everything up here at the radio as well and be able to find that out. But
there's a mass that day, and it'll follow the mass at 6:45.
How coordinated.
Yes, we thought so. And then there's pizza, so, you know, it's all good.
There you go. Well, I sure want to thank you, Susan, for being here. I thank you for your son, who has been such an example and will continue to be an example to us and those who, all of us who are seeking to do God's will. We have this beautiful movie that can help us take a step towards accomplishing that. And I ask blessings upon you and your family. And we just thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much, Judy. God bless you. Father Ryan, pray for us.
Amen.